pleased to host this short panel this morning on the importance of small business to our economy. It's something that I've been passionate about throughout my whole life. I think coming from a farming family, we've always been supportive of our local farmers, but as I've grown up and got old, I have a family of my own, I am very passionate about supporting our small and small and medium enterprises across Northern Ireland. The Ulster Unionist Party has consistently championed the cause of small and local businesses, and we recognise the value that they play to your local economy. We understand the specific challenges that they face, for example, rising energy costs and cutting red tape. Well, it's up to the executive to create the conditions to allow our small and medium enterprises to flourish, and Ulster Unionists are willing to play our part in that. And this is evident through our own Regional Development Minister. For example, when he scrapped previous proposals to introduce car parking charges across 30 towns. So I'm delighted to have with me this morning Glyn Roberts, who's Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Retail Trade Association. Beside me on the other side, we have Roger Pollan, who's Head of External Affairs of the Federation of Small Business. And we also have this morning with us Adrian Farrell, who is President of Portadown Chamber of Commerce. We welcome you all here this morning. First of all, I think we'd like to get a perspective on the rural economy, Adrian. As a businessman in Portadown, maybe you could inform conference, you know, what the economy's like out there.
The economy's tough, without any except worry about that. We, at the moment in Portadown, the last 2 weeks, we've had two businesses closing. One's having their final day today, a national retailer and an independent local family business. You know, and that's sadly a reflection of the last 12 to 18 months of us. Things are extremely difficult at times. There's pressure on the consumer regarding energy prices, etc. There's pressure on the businesses regarding energy price increases. You know, we've had a big increase in gas in the last month and a half. Our rates are a considerable issue again. And this is why Small Business Saturday on the 7th of December is crucial for us.
Thanks very much, Adrian. Glyn, do you want to tell conference a bit about Small Business Saturday and where the background of that?
Thank you very much, Sandra. Good morning, conference. Small Business Saturday is an American idea that ran for 2 years. And really the focus was to try and get as many people, not just shopping with local independent shops, but supporting every type of small business. And in the States, it brought in $5.5 billion. So we are running Small Business Saturday in the UK for the first time. So 7th of December 2013 will be Small Business Saturday. And it's important to point out that this is not Small Shop Saturday, it's Small Business Saturday. So it's every type of small business, whether you're in retail, hospitality, manufacturing, IT. It's about celebrating the huge contribution small business makes to our economy, and particularly the economy of Northern Ireland. But it's also an opportunity for bigger business as well to showcase their small suppliers. And I think that's crucial that we celebrate what they do, but more importantly, look, how can we support the future growth of our small business sector with a very successful investment conference? We've also got to focus in how do we grow our indigenous business base? How do we create the entrepreneurs of tomorrow? And as Adrian says, the retail sector is one particular area where we need new retail entrepreneurs because we have one in four shops vacant in Northern Ireland. So it's absolutely crucial that we set in place the ways to create the next generation of entrepreneurs.
That's great, thanks. Glyn, you know, for the membership, the broad membership here that we have at conference this morning, how do you think Small Business Saturday will get consumers to change their shopping habits on the 7th of December, given that it's backed by big businesses as well as small businesses?
Well, don't get me wrong, I want people to shop 365 days a year with independent retailers, but absolutely. I mean, what we're also trying to ensure that obviously 7th of December is crucially important. It's a big day in the Christmas shopping calendar. So, you know, if people make a real difference to shop local, to shop independent and shop around, I think that will be boost. Now, one of the things that, Sandra, you're absolutely right, bigger businesses are backing this campaign. And you've the likes of Asda in particular, and I know Asda are here today. They want to use the day to highlight some of their small suppliers. I should take the fantastic example of Mash Direct. I was in Dubai there visiting my brother, and I was delighted to see Mash Direct out there in the shops in Dubai. Fantastic. And you were particularly proud of our relationship with Mash Direct, because Mash Direct, their route to market was two of our members in Dundonald. And look at them now supplying to multiple and independent retailers right across the UK and increasingly right across the world. So what I want a Small Business Saturday to highlight and showcase the very best that, of our small business sector. And of course, the banks as well are very keen to get involved, because they want to highlight some of the success stories. And I know banking is still a big issue. We have a long way to go to get it right. But I think that we do need to be championing those small businesses that have took risks, they have invested, they have weathered the storm and want to grow. And I think we should be putting those people on a, not just showcase, but putting them on a pedestal and using these people as champions, because we do need to get that next generation of entrepreneurs. And that's what I hope the 7th of December will be. But it is inclusive day. It's not just about retail, I said. It's about small business, about big business. And if we can change consumers, how they shop, and this looking at ways that we can get them to do extra support for small business, then we'll have done something good.
Thanks very much, Dan. I'd like to bring in Roger at this stage. I mean, obviously, as Federation of Small Business, there are so many issues for small and medium enterprises. And recently, the Ulster Unionist Party brought forward a motion to the Assembly that received unanimous support in regard to public procurement. One of the major problems appears to be inconsistency in tendering, and how can that be addressed? And do we need more public clarity on public procurement working in practice across the board?
Well, we were very pleased to see the commitment the party made towards public procurement in the Assembly, and also to see the support that it got on a cross-party basis. There's a £3 billion spend available every year in Northern Ireland from the public sector to buy goods and services within Northern Ireland. That's through the reserve, the departments at Stormont, and also through local government. And so there's a huge opportunity there for that to be directed to benefit the local economy. Mm-hmm. And I think we've done fairly well here, but we're not as good as some other countries in the rest of Europe. For instance, Germany and France get a lot more of their spending staying at home. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at why that's not happening, because there's clearly political will to see it happening, but there are some barriers to it. And so the FSB has actually commissioned a study recently to look at the realities of public procurement, as mm-hmm. opposed to the policy that's sitting in place, which is commendable in many ways. It's actually, what are the realities of that? What's the cash flow like? What's the payment of bills that are raised under public procurement like? How are the tenders structured? How small are they broken down to, so that you don't have things being clustered up into large amounts, which rules out a lot of small companies going for it? So I think there's good political will, but there's still a dislocation between that and the reality that our members are experiencing on the ground.
Okay. Well, we talked earlier about the review of public administration. Do you feel that the move towards a new council model could be a vehicle to improve procurement in some areas?
We've done a study of local authorities throughout the UK, and in particular we looked at some in Northern Ireland to find out what was the proportion of their spend that was being committed to local businesses in their area. A couple of councils were featured in that report for their best practice, and that was Cookstown Council and Newton Abbey Borough Council, both of whom performed extremely well. And Cookstown, I think, is to be commended and singled out for that, not only for its public procurement processes, but also for its commitment to make sure that all of the invoices were paid within 30 days and that businesses were also trained in how to go for those public contracts. So if we see that it can happen in a council that decides to do it, then we would have hope that when the dust of RPA has settled, that there's at least a smaller number of organisations with whom we can engage directly to try and make sure that that best practice that's emerged in one council or two councils can be extended to all of the ones that are still standing after to the RPA process.
That's great. Okay, thank you very much. I've just been...
Thank you for chairing this subgroup. And could I say a special thanks to our guests, to Glyn, to Roger, and to Adrian. Thank you so much for coming along today.